We hear some hard words from our Lord Jesus in our gospel reading today. And it makes me think of a particular Catholic woman growing up in the corner of Europe named Agnes, who early in her life, in her childhood, heard the story of missionaries, of people who brought the message of Christ to other lands to tell people about him and show them his love for the first time. And she wanted to do that too. And so when she became 18, she moved to Ireland and joined the Sisters of Loreto. And soon she was going to another land and they're teaching in their Catholic school for girls. After some years doing that, she heard a call from Jesus, because the city where she was, there were many poor people. And she heard a call from Jesus to move away from teaching girls and instead to go out and reach out to these poor people. So she received approval and began. And in this new endeavor, she had no income. She sometimes had to beg for food or for supplies. And one day she had been walking down streets and streets looking for a first home, a first building that she and the others could use, and hadn't found one, and was hurting after this long day. And surely she was suffering and wondering what would come of all of this, as she had left behind not only her family back in her home, but now even the security and comfort of the order she had been with. What was going to come of this? So we'll come back to her in a moment. But surely she exemplifies just what our Lord Jesus is saying. What is it that's going on here? Our Lord Jesus is in the midst of this journey to Jerusalem, which we're hearing about for many months. What is he going there for? He's going there to give his life upon the cross for the salvation of the world. All these great crowds who are with him, excited, have no idea of this. They're excited, and you can imagine, if we think of, say, politicians running for office, they'd be very excited to have great crowds with them and would be begging anyone to vote for them for any reason. Or similarly, any commercial event or any musical performance would love the great crowd, say, sure, buy my product, pay for the ticket. But Jesus needs to push back. He needs to let them know that it's not just going to be fun and excitement following him, but that it's going to cost. And they need to realize how much it may cost them to follow him. And so he talks about how in being completely dedicated to him, they're going to have to be ready to choose against and leave behind family, possessions, even their own lives. Remembering when he says, carry your own cross, this is a painful, shameful form of execution. They had to be ready to die that way if they were going to follow him. This is hard stuff. And he says, no, decide. You have to be ready to pay that price. Now we know that, indeed, so many of his early followers, his apostles and others during those early centuries, did pay great price in their social standing, in rejection by their families, even to the point of giving their life as martyrs. They paid that price. And yet, they followed him. And we may want to ask ourselves a question. What price have you paid? What price have I paid? So often in this past century, we might think that to follow Jesus, to come into his church, to listen to his word, to be part of his community, is something that brings us benefits, helps us raise our family, gives us respect in society, helps organize our lives, gives us other people that we're in social contact with. It might seem as if it's all good, as if it only brings benefits. But some of you may have already experienced a cost. You may have experienced a cost in your families or in your friendships. You may have experienced this already. But the truth is that as we look at what is happening in our society and we look forward, the cost that a follower of Christ will have to pay is going to be rising steeply over the years to come. Consider whether you are willing to pay this price to follow Jesus. Because in the years and decades to come, looking at the different trends of what's going on in society and in our lives, I anticipate that we're going to be losing our institutions, that one by one, we'll be losing all our Catholic charities, all our Catholic hospitals, all our Catholic colleges and universities, all our Catholic schools, because of either requirements we cannot meet or simply by them being directly shut down. It may also be that if you are a follower of Christ, you will no longer be able to practice law or practice medicine or work in other fields like being a pharmacist or perhaps to be a teacher, either because you would be required to do something that is morally wrong or because you just won't be allowed if you're a member of something like the Catholic Church. Or maybe that even in any business, you'll similarly be pressured by requirements that would make you pay for or perform actions that you know are not morally right. And coming with this will be not respect, but disdain or loathing, as people around us, including in your own families, might come to look upon you as a terrible person who believes and does terrible things and really isn't worthy to even be a full citizen. That's a pretty harsh thing to think about, isn't it? Pretty dark words. That matches the dark words of Jesus. And it's essential, first, that each of us faces up to that and helps children and grandchildren to face up to it too, to recognize that in the years to come, to follow Jesus as his disciple is going to cost a lot. Now, this could very easily stir fear in our hearts. Of course, we might ask, why would anyone be willing to pay that price? Because, of course, people were willing to pay that price, including right there in the first centuries. Even as people were being mistreated, looked down upon, even killed, Christianity was spreading. More and more people across the empire were coming to believe in Jesus and to follow him in spite of the cost. Why? Part of the answer is found right in our second reading. Here we have part of St. Paul's very short letter to Philemon. St. Paul is in prison, perhaps in Rome. He's writing to Philemon, who's in the city of Colossae, that is, of the Colossians. He had known Philemon before when he was ministering in that city. Philemon is a believer in Jesus. And it's happened by chance that one of Philemon's slaves, Onesimus, had run away from Philemon and ended up meeting St. Paul there in prison. He had come to believe in Jesus and be baptized. Now, why is St. Paul writing this letter? He's sending it with Onesimus to take it back to Philemon. And he's asking Philemon to do something that surely in that society was radical and shocking. What could he, as the owner of this slave, do to this slave who had run away from him? Could he punish him? Could he kill him? And St. Paul asks him, receive him back, not as a slave, but as a brother. Now, we can tell when we read the letter that St. Paul isn't sure that Philemon's going to say yes. He's trying very softly to persuade him, because for him to do this is to do something incredibly difficult and different than what would happen in this society of stratification. But St. Paul is asking him to transform his relationship to Onesimus, to treat him as a brother, even to set him free so that he can be a co-worker of St. Paul. We don't know exactly how Philemon responded, This is part of what was going on and what caught people's attention there in the Roman Empire. Because as the class of slaves was looked down upon and oppressed, and women, and the old, and the young, and the weak, treated with no love, no charity, those who followed Christ brought a different message, brought a different love, brought a different power. And as they communicated to these people that they had dignity, and that they were loved, and that there was Jesus whom they could experience, then they discovered what we need to discover, because this is why someone would be willing to follow him even at that cost. For they discovered that what he said was true, that he is the only begotten Son of God, that he came and became man out of love for us, that he could reach out and teach us truth, that he could reach out and set us free, that he could heal our wounds, that he could forgive our sins, and that he could begin to work within us to transform us into saints and work through us to save and to help others. They found this was true. They met Jesus, and because of that, they were ready to follow him and be a light right there in the Roman Empire. And it's not just them. That young woman, Agnes, that I was talking about at the beginning of the homily, I think I forgot to tell you that when she joined the religious order, she took on a new name, Sister Teresa. And it was Calcutta in India where she was teaching in the girls' Catholic school all those years. And those who said that at the point that she followed that call within a call to serve the poorest of the poor, at that point, she really changed from Sister Teresa to Mother Teresa. And even though it was difficult and she suffered, things quickly began to come together. And soon, she was helping the dying to die with love and dignity. She was helping the lepers. She and her sisters were helping the children who had gotten lost. Soon, there were more joining and more spreading around India and in other countries. And the world came to know Malcolm Muggeridge, who made the film that first brought her to fame around the world, would comment that in a dark world, she shone brightly. In a cruel world, she reached out with true love. And all of those of us who are older than 19 received that light, didn't we? And this is why, looking upon her, who this morning was declared a saint, and seeing her example, we see that yes, in the mysterious ways of God, we can believe the truth of Christ. Yes, we can experience his love. Yes, we can follow him. Because even if it should cost us family, possessions, even our own life, it is worth it. So as we rejoice in the canonization of Mother Teresa, may we look upon her light and turn to her Lord and say, yes, Lord, I believe in you, and I'm ready to follow you, no matter what it costs.